Since Body One Camera Team, and today I'm speaking with Chief Mike Wilhelm. Chief Michael D. Wilhelm was appointed to the rank of Chief of Police on May 3, 2011. Chief Wilhelm has been with the Waynesboro Police Department since December 1995, where he began his career as a patrol officer. He's promoted to the rank of corporal in 2000 and served as a department as a detective supervisor. In 2004, he was promoted to the rank of sergeant and served the department as a patrol shift commander. During his tenure with the police department, Chief Wilhelm has served as patrol officer, patrol supervisor, detective supervisor, narcotics investigator, SWAT team commander, and department accreditation manager. Chief Wilhelm graduated from Radford University with a Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice in 1994. He's currently a member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the Virginia Association of Chiefs of Police. Chief Wilhelm is also very active, serving on several local community boards, including the Valley Children's Center Board and the Blue Ridge Criminal Justice Board. Chief, thank you for speaking with me today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Before we begin, can you give us a little bit of background about your agency and its size so listeners have some relevancy?
Sure. We're located in Central Virginia, about 30 minutes west of the University of Virginia and about 30 minutes south of James Madison University. Our agency is 50 sworn police officers. We've got about 13 civilian staff and also a 12-person auxiliary police unit, which is also fully sworn.
Great. Thank you. Can you tell us why the Waynesboro PD decided to implement body-worn cameras?
Sure. We actually debated that for, quite some time. I mean, when I started with Waynesboro back in 1995, that's one of the main reasons I came to this agency was because we had such a great relationship with our community. So, it would have been easy for us to wait to move forward. Because we've always had such a cooperative and trusting relationship with our community. In my opinion, when my staff and I started looking at this, it wasn't a matter of trying to, increase the trust with the community because we already had it, but it was more of looking to increase our efficiency and our transparency with the community, which it was an easy transition for us to implement body-worn cameras.
So you mentioned the community. Can you explain your community outreach process, specifically around your BWC policy formation and outreach?
Sure. We've got, we're a relatively small agency for this area, and we've got a limited amount of resources. So we wanted to, with our community outreach program, we wanted to reach the largest number of citizens we could and community leaders in one fell swoop. So actually, one of my staff members suggested, well, why don't we do a presentation at our city council meetings? And we have monthly city council meetings where all the city leaders will attend. We usually have three or four media outlets there, several community members as well, and it's also televised to all the citizens in Waynesboro. So we thought that was a pretty good platform to do a short presentation covering what exactly a body-worn camera was. We covered basically the highlights of our policy, but we didn't go line by line explaining every detail. We gave the citizens and our community leaders some situational examples of, when the camera should be activated and when it was discretionary to be activated. And then we kind of opened it up for questions with council members and the public. And that served us very well. We got some follow-up from citizens and community members after that. So what we did after that was the community, some of our community organizations asked us to come and speak at, like churches and civic groups and stuff like that. So we prepared basically a small presentation to go out and do the same thing we did at the city council meeting to the individual community groups. In addition to that, we've got a Facebook page, did a news release, and we actually just did another news release a couple weeks ago where we actually upgraded the body cameras that we had to the HD models that Taser offers. So, it's just a matter of we wanted to keep the community engaged from the get-go. that way that we had buy-in from them. We also included a couple of our officers in some of these presentations just to show that, you know, these officers, we had buy-in from the ground up. I mean, it wasn't just the administration pushing this initiative. It was the officers like, oh yeah, this is a really good idea. I think we should implement it. And, you know, we just had buy-in from everywhere. So it was really easy for us.
Did any of those meetings result in any policy questions or policy changes?
We did have some questions. Again, we kind of kept it generic with when we would activate it and when we wouldn't activate it. A lot of the questions we got came from the media. They were wondering if we had questions ranging from, well, are you going to provide us a video if we ask for it? Are you going to have a website set up to where we can view all these videos? Just, you know, kind of feeling out where we're going with our policy and our procedures on body-worn cameras. We were very upfront with them. We told the media and the citizens that, you know, it was our goal to protect the privacy of the citizens. So only in very limited situations would there be an opportunity where we would release a body-worn camera video.
Sounds good. I know one of the big topics we've been hit with lately has been around whether an officer has the right to review a video before writing a report. Have you guys debated that topic at your agency?
Yes, we had that in there from the get-go. We do allow officers to review their body-worn camera video before writing a report. What we ran into when we first implemented the program, and this was kind of one of our stumbling blocks, was that we had the system set up to where all the officers could go in and review everybody's body-worn camera. So we basically locked it down because we didn't want everybody Monday morning quarterbacking what one officer did versus what another did. So we locked it all down, and now the officers can only review their own videos. I can't go in and review – well, administrators, of course, can go in and review everybody's, but the individual officers on the street can only go in and review their videos.
Great. Thank you. So moving on to selecting a vendor, what do you think was your biggest obstacle when meeting with vendors and choosing the right solution for your department?
Sticker shock. we looked at a variety of different vendors. We also looked at, you know, the storage capacity and whether our IT could, you know, house our own server here and manage that. And, you know, it was definitely sticker shock for us. We were kind of fortunate that all of our cameras were purchased using grant funding. In Virginia, we had a big settlement back in 2013 with Abbott Labs, and they basically divvied up all that money to law enforcement agencies in Virginia. So we applied for that and got a good chunk of money there, and then, of course, our upgrades and everything came with the Bureau of Justice Assistance grant. So, you know, we didn't really have the big cost of the cameras and the docking stations and everything. And we even managed to move some of that money that we got from the grant opportunities to our first year of cloud storage. That way the bean counters in our city government wouldn't, you know, face the same sticker shock that we did when we started looking at what this program was going to cost. So, I mean, it was relatively easy for us because we did, you know, get the two grants that paid for all of the hardware and the cameras themselves. The cloud storage piece of it, that's, you know, the cost of doing business these days.
Right. Well, so you mentioned you do an IT survey as part of it, and then you went on to cloud storage. Can you tell our listeners why your size agency decided to go cloud versus on-premise?
Sure. When we were looking at the vendors, we did a lot of comparisons and got our IT folks involved and basically told them what we were looking at. And at the time when we first started looking at body-worn cameras back in 2011, We have a city IT department, and they would kind of farm out their technicians to us to use whenever we needed them. Now, granted, there's, you know, six IT people for a city with about 400 employees. You can kind of do the math on that, and, you know, when needed could be 2 or 3 days later. So when we looked at the cloud storage, I mean, it provided a solution that was it was scaled to fit our needs as a department. You know, with the limited IT resources, we also pushed because we knew we were going to need somebody on a more dedicated level, and we were able to get our city to actually fund a full-time IT person here in the police department. So that made it even easier. By the time we got our body-worn program up and running, we already had that IT person in place, and any obstacles that we could have encountered, he, you know, took care of that for us because he was here with us all the time. You know, the only downside for us doing the cloud storage is the cost. And then, of course, you know, accessing the cloud storage solution from the cars, you got to have a good, reliable internet connection. That's kind of hit and miss here in our neck of the woods. We've got the Blue Ridge Parkway and Skyline Drive right here, so we've got a lot of mountain regions right in our area. I think we've worked through most of those, and it really hasn't been an issue for us other than the cost with the cloud storage.
Great. Thank you for that. So have you seen any impact since you've implemented the BWCs on your police department or the local community?
Everything we've gauged from our community involvement has been positive. It was kind of funny when we started, you know, discussing this with our community members. They're like, do you really need them? Because we've always had that trust and that relationship with our community. My answer to that was that, you know, it's where law enforcement is going as a whole, and it also provides us with another tool to, you know, keep the high level of accountability for the officer and also, you know, accountability for the citizens. If you know you're being recorded, you've got that kind of sense of awareness, and, you know, people tend to follow the rules when they know they're being watched or being recorded. So it's kind of a twofold win-win for both of us.
So do you announce, because you mentioned that, do you announce to the citizens that you guys are wearing?
It's not required, but, you know, a lot of, when we first rolled them out, there were some questions. I think everybody knows in our community that we have them and where they're worn at. I mean, if you're talking to the officer and looking at their face, the body worn camera is, you know, right there on their chest. So it's kind of hard not to see it. If asked, we of course explain it to them and, inform them that they are recording. But, with Virginia, you know, it's a one party state. So we're not required by law. It's just more of a common courtesy. If they ask, we're going to tell them and explain how the system works to them.
Right. And last question on that topic. Do you happen to do any type of supervisory review for training purposes on officers?
We do. Each of the supervisors on the shifts and in, like, the detectives division and special operations division, they are required to do a minimum of between 5 and 10, just kind of like we call them random checks on officers, mainly to make sure they're using the cameras when they're supposed to be, which our policy kind of dictates it's when you're in an enforcement capacity. So if I'm like sitting around the police department talking to other officers or anything, you're not required to use it then. But if you're out, you know, pulling somebody over for speeding or responding to a call for service, we like to have the officers turn the cameras on. And so the supervisors, they'll go back once a month and, you know, spot check 5 to 10 situations or reports where the officer should have had the camera on and hold the officer accountable for that. The other thing we kind of did, and this was a shift, I don't know, probably about a year into it, is we actually added a block on our crime incident reports that basically it's just a check the box thing, body camera activated, body camera not activated. And that's a mandatory field. So when you go to submit your report, it won't submit unless that box is checked or not checked. So it makes it easier for the supervisors to spot check those reports, because they can actually run a report and see, okay, well, Officer A has 12 body camera was not activated checks on his reports for this month. Let me go in and review those. And it just made the process a lot easier.
So if you, I was asked this question not too long ago at a regional meeting with lots of chiefs that were looking to implement. And one of the questions they asked that I couldn't quite answer, and maybe you can provide some insight, was how you handle discipline around an officer that is, or a group of officers that don't use the technology or consistently use it, because it's a fine line and you don't want to point out that issue. But how did you guys address that, if you're willing to speak on that?
Yeah, we were actually kind of lucky. We had tremendous buy-in from all our officers. So what we found when we first implemented the program was that when the officers weren't hitting the camera is because they forgot. So what we did is we went back and did a refresher training about 6 months into the program, and that was kind of the reminder for the officers to make sure that they were activating the camera. Did the same thing with the supervisors, because we had, you know, a couple of them that were like, oh, I forgot to, you know, do my random checks this month. So again, a year into the program, we had another refresher training with the supervisors and just kind of reminded them that, you know, this is important. We need to be doing these checks. Since those, you know, that time period of doing the refresher training, which were basically just briefing trainings with each of the shifts, we've had very few instances where the officers have not activated the camera when they should have. So it worked out well for us to provide that refresher training, which also keyed them in on, all right, these are when I need to activate it, and these are when I need to check and make sure everybody's using it.
Okay, so did you guys build in disciplinary rules if they, like a warning system and then a write-up or something like that? Because that's what agencies were asking.
We didn't do that. We thought about doing that, but, you know, we had such good compliance with it, it really wasn't necessary. So that was fortunate for us.
Understood. Thank you. So finally, what advice would you give to other similarly sized agencies that are looking to implement body-worn cameras?
Start slow. Basically, set clear goals and expectations for your program and do your homework. Once you start setting your department program goals, immediately start working on your policy. And luckily, there are just so many policies out there. You've got the Bureau of Justice Assistance Toolkit, the podcast, the webinars. You've got all the agencies in your state that now have, that are using these tools, and they have their policies. There's just such a wealth of valuable information out there. What I tell everybody is take your time, do your research on how can get our program was, you know, all right, are patrol officers going to be the primary ones using it? Absolutely. But what about the detectives? What about the school resource officers? Get input from all of them. Also, you know, solicit input from the community. I mean, if you don't have that relationship where you can go out and tell the community or engage with the community and say, hey, this is what we're looking at implementing and get feedback, then, you know, a body-worn camera might not help build that relationship. You've got to have that before you start doing this stuff. The other thing we did is we hit the ancillary agencies, our Commonwealth attorney, our victim witness, the defense attorneys, the judges. That was kind of a big hurdle for them. You know, what are they going to allow in the court? What do they want to see? What don't they want to see? Get input from them. And also, you know, set realistic goals. You want to be purposeful and take your time and not get up in the, caught up in the whole, what we call the process, of, you know, trying to roll them out as quickly, roll body worn cameras out as quickly as you can. You want to make sure that you implement a program that works for your agency and your community. So what works for Waynesboro, I mean, that might not work for, you know, San Diego or Washington, D.C. You've got to be kind of purposeful and get input from everybody within your community and your organization.
Thank you. That's sound advice. And I'd like to thank you for speaking with us today, Chief Wilhelm.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm glad I hope I can help out any other agencies that are looking to implement these types of programs.
Thank you. We encourage law enforcement, justice, public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn cameras to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources the agencies can use to help with the adoption and use of community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues. Lastly, all these resources, and especially the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit and podcast series, have been designed as a national resource, your resource. So please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Todd Maxwell of the BJA Body-Worn Camera Team signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us.